Well, 6 o'clock. Call the Taney County Planning Commission Tuesday, November 13th, 2012 meeting to order. Establishment of a quorum, please, Mr. Ashley.
Okay. Dave Stewart is not here. Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams. Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Therese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
And Ronnie Melton.
Here.
We have established a quorum.
Very good. Would you like to explain the meeting procedures, please?
Okay. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of the site, followed by any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you wish to comment at the public hearing, there's a sign-up sheet in the front that's been provided. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments or questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The regular meeting will be held this next Monday. And at that time, the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay. It looks like we have one tonight for the public hearing, and that's Copper Run Distillery. And I see the representative, Mr. Blancett, is present. So... If anybody needs to do that, I'm going to grab that now. If not, I'll just, before we're done, if you want to go ahead and, thank you, present the exhibit, please.
Okay. This is case number 2012-19. The project is the Copper Run Distillery, liquor sales by the drink. The applicant is James Blancett. The location, the subject property is located at 1901 Day Road, Walnut Shade, Missouri. In the Jasper Township, Section 7, Township 24, Range 21. The applicant, James Blancett, is requesting the approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to allow for the sale of alcoholic beverages by the drink exceeding a 12% alcohol content. And this is the property in question. One thing I will note before I get started, we have also included a second parcel that's being leased by the applicant for parking as well. Okay. I don't think all of my photos indicate that. The background on this, on May 19th, 2008, the Planning Commission approved the original Division 3 permit, which authorized the construction of a 2016 square foot building with a cellar. And that was to be utilized for the production of distilled spirits at 1901 Day Road, Walnut Shade, Missouri. The Copper Run Distillery holds one of nearly 300 distilled spirit plants plant licenses nationwide and is also among four in the state of Missouri. The Copper Run Distillery has received authorization from the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Tobacco Control for the production and both the wholesale and retail sales of distilled spirits. And then they also have a separate liquor license for sales of the liquor by the drink. During the May 18th, 2008, public hearing, the applicant indicated at that time that he had obtained a license that would allow both for wholesale and retail distribution. But the original license wasn't for liquor sales by the drink. But at this time, basically, with this Division 3 special use permit, he's now requesting the liquor sales by the drink. On May I'm sorry about that. As I said, the applicant is now requesting the approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to allow for the sale of alcoholic beverages by the drink exceeding a 12% alcohol content. On August 9th, 2012, a Division 2 permit, 2012-15, was issued for the construction of a 360-square-foot porch addition. And on September 6, 2012, a second Division 2 permit was issued for the construction of a 2,376-square-foot rear patio addition in order to allow for a new outdoor seating area. The current application was approved for concept on October 15th of this year. The general description on this is the approximately 1.4 acre meets and bounds described parcel property, contains the existing Copper Run Distillery, and as I'd stated earlier, the applicant is also leasing an adjoining almost 8 acre tract of land that he's utilizing as customer parking. The applicant's indicated that the Copper Run Distillery is open to the general public from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday, with tours of the distillery operation being given on an hourly basis. The business is also open for private events from 7 p.m. to 12 midnight, and that, from my understanding, has been primarily on the weekends. A number of acoustical music groups perform indoors primarily on weekend afternoons. A menu of pre-prepared food items is also available for purchase, but like I said, all of these, from my understanding, are pre-prepared items. And these are just some various shots of the property in question. And like I said, the one thing we don't really indicate here is the parking area is basically this leased area here. And kind of the same thing. In review, the Taney County Development Guidance Code states that any business, operation, or establishments that sells alcoholic beverages by the drink, which exceed a 12% alcohol content, shall be required to acquire a special use permit. This requirement does not apply to packaged liquor sales or by-the-drink sales that do not exceed 12% alcohol content. The Copper Run Distillery is in compliance with the provisions of Section 4.6.1, in which the establishment must be at least 1,000 feet from any school or church. The property is currently served by a private well and also an on-site wastewater treatment system. The Taney County on-site wastewater permitting personnel has basically issued a letter indicating that that this on-site system is currently meeting the needs for this type of use. The Western Taney County Fire Protection District has indicated that the Copper Run Distillery would have a maximum seating capacity for 51 people. The existing parking area will contain at least 19 parking spaces, which would meet the provisions of the code book. The project received a total score of -7 on the policy checklist. Out of a maximum possible score of 59, the relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, solid waste disposal, utilities, and traffic. And in summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the staff has proposed the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Taney County Health Department, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Fourth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, a 25-foot wide vegetative buffer shall be maintained between the distillery structure and the adjoining residence to the northeast. Sixth, if music, whether live or reproduced, is used for entertainment, The sound levels shall not be such as to be a nuisance to any existing residences. 7, all light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site toward adjacent residential areas or any roadways. 8, the Copper Run Distillery shall be open to the general public from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday. The business shall be open for private events from 7 p.m. to 12 midnight. And 9, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've put together a couple of videos. I've tried to be fairly brief here. And this is just a quick 360 from the roads. This is the existing Copper Run Distillery. And we just did a fairly quick 360 there at the entrance. And then
some lady been there all night drinking, walking out in the
courtyard. And then just took a fairly brief video, just of the facility itself.
Okay. Thank you. We have one person signed up to speak tonight, and generally what we do is we have the representative come up first and present, but it sounds like Mr. Ashley covered that pretty good. If there's anything else you would like to add for informational purposes, that would be good, and then we'll let the person come up and speak, and if there's any other questions, we'll have you come back up at that time. Did he cover it pretty well, you think? Or
there's something I'd like to add.
Okay, please come on up and do that. James Blanzett.
The addition of the back porch there. It looks like the information has it at 2,300 square feet.
I thought that was an awfully big back porch.
It's a small back porch. It's 12 foot by 18. So just
okay.
For the record.
So
that's what I... And I don't know, but I just went off of the permit application and what was actually constructed.
Okay. So for the record, it's a 12 by 18 back porch.
Yeah,
that's right. I think the
seats.
Number that you have there represents the entire building.
Okay.
Okay.
It seats
okay.
A few people and not several exactly. Thousand.
That's
correct.
Okay. That's right. Correct.
Okay.
And then in addition with the health department, we've had the health department out and received 100 on our rating. So I have that information here. Also insurance that we have on the leased property that I'm leasing from my parents. I
okay.
have that available as well. And with parking, I've got a very similar map that actually shows more detail, and we have room for about 45 to 50 cars in that space for parking.
Okay. Is that gravel? What is the surface?
It's gravel.
Okay.
Yep. And we use railroad ties to distinguish parking areas, and there's easy access in and out for the parking. And then up front on the building, we have room for 4 to 5 handicap areas where people can park closer.
Okay. Okay, anything else?
I think that's everything.
Okay, so, all right, well, I'll have Paul Kirk come up and speak, and then if there are any other questions, we'll have you come back up.
Hello.
Hi.
I've just got a few concerns. I've never, even though I'm a neighbor to Mr. Blanchett, I've never had the pleasure of actually visiting his venue. I apologize to him for that. We've been neighbors for over 10 years, and neither one of us have actually taken the opportunity to see each other, which is sad. But I've got some concerns. One, as a father of 3 young boys, 2 as a homeowner, and I think the history that Mr. Blanchett has had on that piece of property has been exemplary. There's been very few instances that I'm even aware of, being an immediate neighbor to the venue. We, even though he has had the live music, we have not heard it. We don't hear of the traditional problems that you would hear from a bar. I apologize. I don't exactly understand the difference of what has currently been going on with the operation as far as the distribution of drink to now sell it by the drink. So, I apologize. I don't know how that's going to affect the level of the people leaving the venue. But then my next concern is, as I'm also a career paramedic, is the people that are leaving there. If their level of intoxication is going to be going up, then I have concern. The roadways are not made to handle, one, the volume of traffic has increased substantially. There are other businesses in the area with a bed and breakfast adjacent to their operation. But then also their operation is increasing, which is good for the entrepreneur. And I understand that. That's great. But as a homeowner, again, of three young boys that are learning how to ride bikes, they're wanting to get out and jog on the road and things like that, I have concerns, let alone now with not only the increase in traffic, but also the intoxicated person. So I have questions about what, as the venue owner, what security of the public is there to make sure that they're not leaving there extremely intoxicated or past legal limit, and then driving down the road. I was under the understanding that there was a request to increase the hours of operation. It appears to me that there's no increase in the hours of operation.
We'll ask in a minute. I'm keeping notes, and then I'll make sure I cover them all. If I don't, you let me know. Okay.
But my concern would be if we're going to increase the hours of operation past 7 p.m. And I know that there's been the private events going on, and that's a private event. But again, the ruralness of the roadways, after dark, they get even that much more of a rural event. And then you empty right out onto a major thoroughfare, meaning Highway 65 and also Highway 160. So I think that that's all my questions at this time. The only other question would be the live entertainment and noise abatement and you know, the ability to conduct a normal life without having to listen to the other music. And I think that was addressed in there, that there was,
okay,
they were answering that concern. I think that's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever had any trouble with them when they have these private events that go on till midnight? Have you ever had any?
I have not. I have not heard. I'm off the ridge enough where I have not heard the private events that they've had. No, that's correct.
Thank you.
Only thing that I've heard is the vehicles in and out, and you know, that time of day, it's not that big of an issue. It's just the volume of the traffic.
Okay.
Sometimes can be heavy.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Blanchett, if you'd like to come back up here, we've got some questions for you to hopefully clarify as much as we can for both us and the public. Bob, Mr. Atchley, the main difference here is he is asking for by the drink.
Exactly.
That's the change.
And really, that's the only change. When this was originally approved, it was approved as a distillery.
Right.
With the understanding that there would be a certain amount of sampling.
Three samples, right. I remember that. But was there an hours of operation set at that time on that particular?
I don't know that there ever was, honestly.
Okay.
Let me pull that while I've
so
got
it. So asking for additional hours.
Well, we'll get back to that. While you're looking at that, I'll go ahead and I wrote some notes here, so it may not make sense when I read it, so I apologize. By the drink, the difference in level of intoxication, and specifically, I mean, the traffic, like Mr. Kirk already said, of course, you know, you want traffic to be pretty heavy and we kind of have to decide whether or not it's too heavy for those roads. But you want to be successful, so you want traffic to be relatively high for what you can handle. So I understand that. But I think his main concern was if you do buy the drink and it starts to look more like a bar scene, if there's going to be intoxication and that type of stuff. So can you address that?
I have the same concerns that Paul has. My family, we live on those roads, and it's really important that we offer a safe, comfortable place for people to come and enjoy the experience that we provide. Without knowing better, I've been doing this for a year now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that this was necessary, and part of that comes from the state. In order for me to have a sample license, I needed to apply for a retail by the drink license.
Okay.
And so for the first few years of operation, that's what we did. We would produce spirits, and our primary business is to produce spirits and sell those bottles and then offer a sample. And with the exception of the weekends, Monday through Friday, that's our main business. And so the clients, the customers that come will come and take a tour from 10 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Our hours have always been that. We're not asking to increase our hours. And so they're there for maybe half an hour to 45 minutes for that experience. Now, with the retail by the drink license that I was issued by both the state and the county, I mistakenly thought that gave me the ability to offer drinks by the glass. And so we've been doing that for a year now. And what we do is we mix our spirits with fresh homemade cocktails. So with the portions that we use, we're at 12% alcohol already. With diluting it down with juices and other cocktail beverages that we make. Our employees have gone through the certificate courses that the state of Missouri offers for training on alcohol awareness. So we're very aware of the Missouri state laws regarding over-serving people or having someone come in who's intoxicated. And we have policies in place to deal with that. So it's very important to keep those roads safe, and we've gone through great effort to do that.
Okay, to me, this is not a bar.
No.
Okay, so there is a difference, but you may have returning customers or regular customers to the location.
The only. What you would consider a busy time, if you will, are Saturday and Sunday afternoons. And we have music there that features local musicians who, it's acoustical, so there's not an amplification.
Is it indoors?
It's indoors.
Always?
Yes, we've never had music outside.
Okay.
And with the type of music that we have, it's banjos and violins and fiddles and mandolins, so it's very...
And that is the plan for that to remain that way?
That's correct.
Because that is the type of establishment it is.
That's exactly right. So it's a family destination. And people, we offer a location for people to come and enjoy the music and the relaxing environment. And we're not pushing drinks. We don't want people to get intoxicated, but we do want to offer something special with the food and the drink that goes along with the music.
Okay, so if you do have somebody that's regular, they may be there in general having a drink or two. Hopefully you're going to sell a bottle or a barrel, whatever, to them at that point, or some food. You're offering pre-prepared food, if I remember right.
That's correct. Vaskin's Deli and Branson prepares all of our food for us, so we simply serve that to the public. And then with the health inspection that we had just a few weeks ago, he went through everything, and I showed him what we're doing, and we have a 100% compliance with the health department.
Okay. Got the live entertainment already. The hours of operation are staying the same.
And also, if I could, I'd like to add that with the private parties, we don't really push that. We work really hard from 10 until 7, and I think in the last year that we've been doing this, we've had maybe 5 or 6 of the private parties.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, is how often? Once a month would be very aggressive?
Not even that.
On average?
Yes. Okay. And also, with the private parties that we had in the past, the only way that we would accept that invitation was to have a designated driver. So they've been family reunions, employee parties, and that type of get-together, and everybody's more than willing to use a shuttle bus for that type of event.
Okay. Did you have...
There wasn't a... In the original Division 3 decision of record, there really wasn't a provision that
So in a way, we're actually restricting you more at this point because the request, we're actually putting time frame on that. But it sounds like those are already your hours of operation, and you're okay with that, I suppose.
That's correct. Our main business is from 10 until 7.
Okay. If this is approved, I mean, that's kind of what we're saying, that that would be your hours of operation.
That's correct.
If you wanted to change that, you'd have to come back in the way we're currently set up.
That's correct.
Okay. Or expand it, I mean. Okay. Did I miss anything with his did I miss anything of your questions?
The only question I've got, you were talking about special events that you've had in the past, the 6 or a 7 or however many you had in the last year. To answer Mr. Kirk's question, there's not going to be a bar type scene because people are not going to be able to just come back in every Saturday night and plan for there to be a party there that they can be there.
No,
it's got to be a special event and it has to be scheduled, and there's only a certain group of people going to be there.
That's
going to do
well in the evening.
Scene.
That's correct.
Yes. In the evening.
Yes. Otherwise, we're closed at 7 o'clock.
Right.
Okay.
So that makes it does away with that bar type.
Did we cover your concerns?
Thank you.
Okay. What are the questions from the commission?
You kind of asked all the questions I was going to ask.
Sure, taking credit for the good questions.
Yeah. Anything else from the commission? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that will close the public hearing on the Copper Run Distillery. And I don't think we have any other public hearings tonight. We've got some old new business, it looks like.
Yeah, that's it for this evening as far as public hearings.
Okay. You all are welcome to stay if you want. It's really exciting, or you can leave if you want. That's up to you. So, not you. You guys have to stay, yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't really warn you about this one, and I probably should have said something before. Dave Fawcett is with the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments. And
hi, Dave.
One of the things we're looking at is, as the staff, we're looking at the possibility of updating our master plan, primarily internally.
Okay.
But the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments has a certain amount of money in grant funds that they've received, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but they've received a certain amount of money in grant funds, and basically they've agreed to assist us with a suitability analysis and also some future land use mapping. So maybe this would be something that would help us with a current land use map, a future land use map, and also potentially if we propose something along the lines of traditional zoning, it might be something that could help us produce an initial zoning map. But I'll kind of turn it over to Dave at this point so he can...
Start the show.
Okay.
Okay, very good.
I appreciate you guys taking the time. I really didn't know it, obviously.
That's why we're here.
Stop, you know. But this is something that's occurring now. I'll just tell you that I work for the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, and we're a regional planning agency. There's 19 of them in the state, all divided throughout the different areas. And we cover 10 counties in the region, and one of them is Kane County. For a council of governments and voluntary membership. We don't have any regulatory authority or anything like that. But one of our functions is to assist local governments in preparing plans and technical studies. And I'm currently working with Tane County on their natural hazard mitigation plan. That's a FEMA-approved plan that basically has some goals and strategies to mitigate the effects of all the natural disasters that can affect tornadoes and everything else. Part of that is in 2011 with flooding and the Joplin tornado, the state of Missouri was the league leader in FEMA disaster funds. And there were $177 million of unmet needs. Well, this money was made available to the Department of Economic Development through their CDBG program to give to our regional planning commissions to assist communities in, go to the next slide, please. I gotta do this, I should have a clicker. But it's basically, that grant was just, there's other parts to it, but the major thing is to assist and develop forward-thinking plans that will guide subsequent land use decisions throughout the community and reduces existing and future development in disaster risk areas. And that's basically what we're going to do.
through this grant for the entire region is basically identifying high hazard areas like the floodplain. Sinkholes is one of those natural disasters that's covered. Wildfire areas, kind of integrating those into a land use suitability model. And go to the next slide. This is all funded through that grant. So this is something that we're going to do as part of that project, is for each county develop some of this information in map layers and present it on a web application, a mapping application on the web, get that information out to any kind of decision maker. A lot of our counties don't even have the ability to do any planning and zoning or regulate because they're third-class counties and they're more agriculture, so they can't even adopt it in the first place. But this is just kind of a mechanism to get anybody who's making a decision, whether it be a private property owner about where basic risks are in the community. And also developed a, it's called the land use suitability model. And this is basically has an ancient, not ancient, but 100 years ago, there was some print techniques where they'd overlay different maps on top of each other and hold them up to the light and see, whatever criteria they wanted for whatever suitability. So this is basically the same thing that we're doing, but we have computers now. So what we do is take these maps and we turn them into a raster, which is a pixel or a cell that coincides with the coincident area for each map layer. So that cell has a value for whatever goal or objective that you're looking for. Go to the next slide, please, Bob. And so this is basically the strategy, is to identify basically three broad categories of land uses: urban, agricultural, and conservation. So basically, that's the way the model is set up, is what I gave to you in the sheet. It's just a way to structure these things kind of hierarchically. That way, we'll know how to put these maps together when we add them all together to come up with an overall suitability. Some of the objectives, statement of purpose, to find land suitable for conservation. We want to find natural recreation areas. Go to the next slide. Go to the next one. So then we've got the maps from the USDA Soil Survey, and there's an extension that goes in this mapping software where you can create these maps. The soil is suitable for a bunch of different things. So the first category was recreation areas. These are for setting up camp areas. You see they're rated somewhat limited, very limited, not limited. So those are, ideally suited for recreation areas for camping. And then we've got, next one, please, paths and trails. And then the next one is play areas. So what we'll do is we'll assign a rank to those, determining how to add them together in a different weight. That value will be converted on a scale from 1 to 9 as to more suitable than the other one. And that's just basically how these go. So I've got different map layers for each one of these goals. And if you have any questions or want to stop me, please feel free to do so. But this is pretty much already prepared. So I have these map layers and I'm ready to combine them for all these different land use classifications. And what they'll do is, based on a ranking, a participatory ranking, on that scale from 1 to 9, what's more suitable for that different type of land use purpose, then that'll have a higher contribution to the overall combination. So we want to see what land use, based on these different factors, are more suitable for urban.
I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
What we've looked at so far, I think, is soil and that type of stuff.
Right.
Do you take into account the existing roadway system and that type of stuff?
Well, actually,
have I not got there yet? Have you not got there yet?
No,
okay.
Okay. You're a little bit ahead of me. That's just conservation. There's these different things too, and then you'll notice this goal too is to identify the areas prone to natural hazards. And those ones that I talked about being at the floodplain, sinkholes. You can go ahead, Bob. That's flooding frequency. One more. That's the insurance rate map, FEMA's floodplain. Zone A, E, and Zone A, that's the 100-year floodplain. And then we've got the 500-year floodplain. So go one more. And those are sinkholes. They're sinkholes areas. That map information, these are all available. This is the USGS information. And they picked these up through, you know, their different identification processes. So what I did was I created a buffer as for the distance based on 9 divisions of a mile. So 500 feet away, you know, 1,200 feet away, so on. And then those are the different values. And that just says this is a sinkhole area. Anything within that yellow is going to be within a mile of a sinkhole. And we're just calling that maybe be more prone to that hazard than anything further away. So that's basically, that's the sinkhole hazard map. And then the next one, these are wildfire prone areas. And this is basically a combination of housing density and census blocks and the amount of vegetated coverage. If those reach a certain degree, where there's so many houses and there's so many trees in that certain census block, it's going to be high, medium, or low hazard. So, you know, just for, say, the high, we put a 9 on that scale because that's the highest hazard. But those are going to be, you know, in incorporated areas and stuff like that just because there's more houses. But these lower ones, you can place a value on high, medium, and low. And then we'll combine that map later. And then just keep going. And then we've got wetlands. We've got depth of groundwater, that, you know, for don't spoil any aquifers or anything. Keep going. These are 10 county parcels that are less than $10,000 and greater in size than 10 acres. And those are going to be closer to the Mark Twain National Forest and the Missouri Department of Conservation, kind of creating a buffer around those. Those of you want to kind of maybe place a higher value on conserving those areas because they're connected to already existing natural areas. Keep going, Bob. And then agricultural, just keep flying right through these things. There's cultivated crops of the little blue, and that was in 2006. It was USGS. They take a, you know, an aerial picture, and then they pull out the signature of the spectral reflection from all the plants, and they can say what's cultivated crops and a bunch of different land uses. Those are where crops are already gone, grown. That's hay. You can go ahead. And that's hay and pasture land, so that's suitable for low-intensity livestock production where cows can graze, or if you have some big acreage around there, it's not going to cost that much to get that hay to your property, so that's going to be more suitable because it's going to cost you less to produce more resources. Next one. This is classified soils as prime agricultural farmland, prime farmland, and you see the areas that are more farmland are down in the floodplains where the soil is more silty and it can more readily grow things. There's some stuff that are on the tops of some of these ridges. Near Taneyville, there's a lot of this prime farmland according to the soil survey. And then there's farmland of statewide importance and then farmland that could be good if it kept it from flooding all the time. Next one. This is a crop classification where if there's no irrigation, you know, crops can grow there already, and it kind of looks like the same soils as that other map a little bit. Only same thing, only a little bit different. Next one. This is grassland that can't really support cultivated crops, but is suitable for grazing. So that's already there. We think that livestock or other forage animals could graze on that. Next one. These are all parcel sizes greater than 50 acres. So if, you know, the larger parcel, the more stuff you can grow or the more cattle you can have on there, the better your return in terms of doing that. So what we're going to do is take those parcel sizes and in connection to where all that other stuff is growing, see, you know, what matches up and the larger is going to be more suitable because you'll be able to produce more things. Go to the next one. This one is forested land. Stuff that's already forested for maybe timber production and that kind of thing. You've got mixed evergreen, or evergreen is the light blue and leafy deciduous forest. That's the yellow. And then there's mixed forest, you know, kind of up in the Glady parts and Mark Twain National Forest and parts of Tannen County. Next one, Bob. And that's just non-irrigated crop yield. the suitability of that soil to be able to produce things without, you know, anything more than just the normal precipitation. That number, the higher the number, the greater the yield. Next one, Bob. And then that's pasture and hay again. We can go on. And then these are the census roads. So we're going to look for those large parcels that are connected to a roadway and that have access to transportation that can get logging trucks out of there. They already got to be connected to the transportation system, like you were saying. And then we, urban suitability. I really appreciate your time, and I hope, you know, if I'm talking too fast or something, just let me know. And we'll go through these. We're going to find soils that have physical properties. We've got parcel values. So theoretically, parcels with lower values are going to be more profitable in terms of like building a subdivision and making more profit. The lower they have to actually acquire a core. Next one, Bob.
Do you look at that when you help with the mapping, though?
Well, what he would actually...
I mean, that's not our concern on how profitable it is for the developer.
Yeah, and that is true.
It's just more suitable.
It's a proxy for something.
Okay.
You know, we're not saying that, you know, you're not making any, you know, any plan that you made using this as a basis, just as a basis for some kind of, you know, to visualize, because what this can do is, you know, give you the big overview of just kind of some of the natural aspects of the whole county. And, you know, there's some things that are kind of no duh, where you want, people are going to, you're not going to build a city out by Pro Town or something like that, you know. There's reasons why things are the way they are.
Oh, some people are trying.
Really?
Okay, no, go ahead.
But this is, you know, we're not trying to identify anybody's particular land in this, because so this will just be kind of added into that K player.
Okay.
So, but this is just a proxy, and these are kind of the strategies, the statements under these objectives. We're trying to find land that can be converted into more urban uses.
Okay.
So just parcel values, that's one layer. And if you have any suggestions about how to better this list or what other kind of layers we can find, please feel free, because I have access to, you know, there's just so much information for mapping out there now. You know, working with Taney County, I have all this information from doing the hazard mitigation plan. So I pretty much have all these things ready to go. You know, slopes, if that, you know, slopes, this is slope percent. And some people, this is debatable, I think, but, you know, the greater the slopes approaching around 20% slope, 25% slope, that's going to require some cut and fill, little added cost. You're looking for maybe more gentler slopes to put some different types of urban uses. Bob? dwellings with basements. This may or may not be something that, but, you know, in terms of that natural disaster, you're talking about tornadoes and high winds, which we know can affect Taney County, you know, maybe that might be something more suitable if somebody's looking for a dwelling with a basement, rather than, you know, where might you have to shelter people in different ways, that kind of thing. Next one, please. These are soils suitable for roads and streets. That's just a basic bed of material. This one's almost identical to the dwellings with basements, too, so I guess they're pretty similar. But you have to have some amount of topsoil. There's not a lot of that in some parts of these ridges around here that's already eroded. And then the next one. Then we're going to look for, this is probably the most critical part of it, and it's the transportation system, like you were saying. We're going to look at accessibility to different activities. You know, if you were making a residential location choice about where you wanted to live, how important would be proximity to good schools? How important would be, you know, shopping and employment, those kind of things? So in order to get that measure, we have a network analysis function. We've got the street map, which allows us to generate travel times to pretty much any point you want to. And it's an origin destination matrix. Transportation engineers have been using these things for years. But we can calculate an accessibility index to pretty much any point in the county based on how attractive that school is. whether it's got, you know, lower student-teacher ratio maybe, or more assessed valuation to spend on pupils, some, you know, attractive factor. Based on that, you know, how accessible is every point in the county? So that's kind of one of the more sophisticated things that we'll do in this model. And it's just kind of showing you where things are now, and so, you know, kind of how this might spread out in the future and come into conflict with agriculture and some conservation goals as well. So the next one, and this is proximity to emergency services. So this is that same road network again. You've got all the fire stations within the county, and then able to generate a service area based on 2-minute travel times. So I can make one boundary every 2 minutes, how far that truck can get along the transportation system to any part in the county. So that's kind of what those are, the darker, the brown, you know, the less time it takes, and then the further out, the more time it's going to take. And then the next one is, this is ambulance. This is emergency medical services. So all the Caney County Ambulance District locations and barns are on there, and then kind of a service area based on those things. Next one, Bob. Major employers. I get this information from a huge database. We call employers all the time and ask them how many employees they have working there every 6 months and different things about their company, so they can provide that information to Google Maps and different things like that. So these are all the employers in Taney County that have employment greater than 20 people. So these are going to represent, you know, major employment clusters, and we're going to do that same accessibility to everywhere in the county. Next one. This is shopping centers, accessibility to shopping. This is grocery stores. It's, you know, Branson Landing. It's malls and shopping centers and that kind of thing, and the accessibility to that as well.
I got a question on that one. What's the one way up in the northeast corner?
Yeah, okay. I was wondering about
that
too.
Yeah, I was. That's a good. You called me on that one, and that's a good point too, because this data is not perfect. That, those points up there, they're all stacked on each other, and I'm going to move these, but those belong in Ava.
Okay, that's what I figured.
It's Walmart and Ava.
So that's all
there is.
But everything is like, you know, everything in Ava just got stacked right there where
20 employees and plus, there's not going to be lots.
Yeah.
But I can fix that. I can take those and I can all move them to Ava and then do this and create these map layers. But thanks for bringing that up. We've got a sharp eye.
I started saying that was in my back door. I wanted to know where that Walmart was. I'm traveling a long ways for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the maps.
And then I think this is about it. There's a few others. There's more soils maps for commercial. Because this is just basically residential, where we're asking you how close you like to be to these different activities. For commercial, I think it's the third page. Commercial and industrial, but then, you know, we've got soils suitable for small commercial buildings, those that can have the, you know, buildings next to solid material, and then soil suitable for small excavations too, that way if you want to dig in a little bit, those things would be physically suited for that more intense use. And then we've got, again, lands connected to major roads and highways. You know, these MoDOT has the roads, there's the, you know, the functional classification, where it's primary arterial, collector, you know, that level of roadway, that's where you want, anytime they intersect, you know, businesses, especially retail and those kind of things, they need exposure, so they need more people, you know, higher drive, you know, daily trips on roads so people can see them, access, the way to turn off in there, and there's one other one that I don't remember right now. But that's kind of the same thing. So those kind of things, if they're looking for, that's what we want to do with these objectives. And then we want to find a land connected to housing density, set housing density from the 2010 census, the census blocks, about, you know, how many housing units per acre are in that census block. So we can get those points, because just as residential, or, you know, people want to get to commercial things, commercial things want to get a big area of people so they can shop and those kind of things. So it's kind of reversing that a little bit. But that's basically how this funnel works. And Taney County, you know, I've got to do this for the whole region. And I haven't done anything for them yet. And I, you know, because I've worked here very recently in Taney County, I wanted to get this one done. And Bob was really gracious enough to allow me to come talk to you guys tonight. And I really appreciate your time and effort. And, you know, the main key to all of this is, you know, a lot of this data is numbers and stuff like that. But a lot of it is, you know, there's a certain value that people place on, you know, conservation or the environment in terms of economic development. You know, how do we balance those things? So this is kind of a way to get your values down on a piece of paper in terms of trying to identify the weights of these different layers that we're going to put together. So, and basically I'm asking for your participation. I wanted to come and just kind of introduce this tonight. I'm not going to get into anything else, you know. But I have to create a scorecard. So, you know, it won't take you that much more of your time just to go through and evaluate on that scale from 1 to 9 how important, you know, each of the layers in each of the categories are, because that's the level they're going to contribute to their map. So if, you know, parcel value is not important to somebody else, you know, that's not going to be necessarily weighted as high as somebody else. And then we can kind of see where those scores range, where some conflict is too.
Okay, is this something that you've got arranged with our office? And then, okay, so what are you asking from us tonight then?
Tonight, I'm just asking, you know, to kind of...
You're just introducing this concept to us?
Yeah, and I wanted to get familiar with the different map layers too and what they work.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know, your time is valuable and there's usually a lot going on that it's not every night's like tonight.
So right.
I'm going to try and develop a kind of score sheet. It's real easy.
Okay.
That you can see the different layers and how they're connected, so you can rank one against the other.
And are you going to get that to our staff, and they're going to get to us? Or are you going to?
I can come back.
What's the plan?
I can, you know, if there's just a little bit of time, I can bring it with me just to maybe go through it once, so we all get the hang of it, because it'll be new to me too. Or if not, I can get it to Bob, and then he can get it.
Okay. So we're not committing to anything.
No,
as a commission, other than just giving you how we would weight these.
Right.
That's which I think would help you overall anyway.
As, you know, your 9 to 5 or as your position on the Planning and Zoning Commission, you're going to be an advocate for whatever.
Sure.
You know, however you see it, your way. And,
okay.
You know, that's just going to be the way it is. And then kind of get some kind of consensus on what those are. And then that's all I'll need from you.
Okay.
Then I can take that information, and then I can do the technical stuff of combining all the maps and then submit a report.
Okay. When do you expect to have this scorecard available to bring us?
I will. I would like to have it done, you know, before December, and I know you guys are meeting.
Yeah, we meet. We meet next
Monday.
Monday, November the 19th, and that also brings me to something else I was going to remind everybody. No, I'm not done yet. Yeah, no, I'm not done yet. Monday, December 3rd, we have a work session, which really we're not going to be discussing anything on this. I don't know why that would be open to public comment, but if it would need to be, I don't know if we could have him come that night if November 19th doesn't work.
December 3rd would be...
Will that fit into our posting plans for everything as far as keeping us good there?
You're not necessarily making any binding decisions.
About, right.
You know,
yeah.
This is just a work session to develop a technical report.
Well, the majority of our work session, I don't know how long you would need. Hopefully not very long.
Hopefully not long.
10 minutes? 15
yeah,
tops?
That's 10, 15 tops.
Okay. Is the commission okay with that? Adding that to our work session to the 3rd? Okay.
Why don't? More time than that, then I'm really screwed up. So.
Okay. Yeah, because we've got a lot of other things we've got to discuss that night, which is really why we're here. For that, but we could fit you in and give you 15 minutes on December the 3rd and at the same time at 6 p.m. if you just want to get with staff and make those arrangements.
Okay.
We'll move forward from there on that, and hopefully most of our commissioners can be there that night.
Okay. That would work, and I really gratefully appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, I respect your gentleman's time, and we'll try to, and your input's more valuable than you'll know.
So. Okay, well, we appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. So if you get a chance, Commission, between now and then, take a look at the handout he gave you, and then it sounds like we're going to be giving weight to the different areas, and that makes sense to me as far as helping more make that what we want it to be. So from that standpoint, yeah, okay. That's weird. Government, logical, those two things don't go together. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll see you on the third, hopefully.
Okay. Thank you. Just get with Bob, and he can make those arrangements. All right. Thanks. Are there old and new business?
Well, kind of.
In your hand.
Or you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask Bob, what is this going to benefit you, and is it going to be something you're going to look at on every change that's brought in front of you?
I think this is for a overall plan. I think this is a long-term plan.
This is more for the master plan.
It might just be a tool of getting you a master plan, right? It's not going to make the master plan for you.
No, you're exactly correct.
Okay.
And I mean,
if it's not going to benefit you at this point, is it going to benefit you down the road? And it will down the road when you work more on your master plan.
Exactly.
I'm making the assumption he wouldn't have been here tonight if you wouldn't have thought there was some benefit.
Well, unless he's trying to sell something.
Sounds like he's trying to give something away. Actually.
Well, he's going to get paid for it.
And he is. This is it's a grant funded project, basically, where they got community. Well, they've already gotten the grant monies, but they have to put together some type of planning activity, basically, for the counties within their region. And I know it has to somehow also be somewhat. It has to tie in with this hazard mitigation planning because he's already done that. What my hope was and kind of what they proposed to me was that potentially this could also be something that we could use as like the first future land use map too, or that we could use this data to develop a future land
use
map.
Could, I think it could maybe assist you in
exactly.
that, but I don't think that should be the end all for
no,
that deal.
No, I agree with you.
But,
I do.
If it's okay with the commission, we'll just leave that up to Bob to decide whether we want to have him here on the 3rd.
Okay.
Okay.
If it's beneficial, I'm all for it. If it's not beneficial, I mean, he's just wasting your time.
Yeah.
I understand.
I couldn't figure out what he's doing, whether he's selling something or giving
it. Well, he's giving it to us, and somebody's paying him to do it.
Well, he said the grant money.
Okay. It's basically something, where he's gotten community development block grant funds.
Sounds like he's already got the grant.
Yeah, he does. So, yeah.
He left me plumb out to anything in our old airports.
Okay. What else?
Well, at this point, the staff we have drafted some language, and I don't know how it's going to be viewed. I actually was going to bring it with me tonight, but I'm getting some comments from the health department and the various fire districts on nightly rentals.
Okay, good. So you've that would give us a starting point and hopefully a good starting point. So we don't want to be writing language at night if at all possible.
And so we do have a draft. I'll likely just present that at the next meeting, if that's all right. Just
that'd be good. So that way it'll give us a couple of weeks to, you know, while you're between watching the football game and sleeping off your Thanksgiving dinner, Ronnie.
What?
He's already sleeping.
I don't want to touch you sleep.
What else?
Yeah, I think that's all I've got.
Okay, anything else? We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We are adjourned. That's good. That was good timing. I will repeat.